from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Before he ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, Jesus told his disciples up front just what things would be like for them after he returned to the Father. While he was on earth visibly living by their side, they weren't in danger. He made sure that they weren't the ones who would be persecuted. He made sure that all the persecution and hatred would be directed toward him. But after he would ascend into heaven, you heard in the gospel how he forewarned them about the persecution they would endure, the cross of suffering for the sake of their testimony about him. Their confession of Christ would bring the cross. The same holds true for those who have believed the apostles' testimony, because it's the nature of a Christian to confess Christ before the world. And it's the nature of the world to hate Christ and all who confess him. But the message of Jesus in the gospel isn't one of sadness or sorrow or despair. It's one of hope. Not the hope of avoiding persecution, avoiding the cross, because the only way to avoid it is to deny Christ and go back to the world. Not the hope of avoiding the cross, but the hope of a king seated on his throne at the right hand of God, telling his people beforehand that they will suffer for his sake, but assuring them at the same time that even this is part of his plan to build his church, and so to help us face the world that will hate us and all the crosses that we must bear, he again promises to send a helper, the Spirit of truth. Jesus says, "When the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father." We talked a few weeks ago about what that word helper all means. It's the one who is called to your side to speak up in your defense, an advocate, a helper. Jesus promises to send his disciples such a helper, an advocate. He is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. In other words, he is the very Creator God, together with the Father and the Son. What does he come to do? How does he come to help? Jesus says, "He will testify of me." He testifies both to the disciples themselves in their hearts. He's also the one who's really testifying through their testimony before the world, as we learned last week. Jesus' disciples, as we see after his death on the cross, even after his resurrection, had no strength, no courage, very little understanding of Jesus and his purpose before the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. Before the Spirit came, we find them running away from confrontation. We find them hiding behind locked doors. We find them asking Jesus if now is when he is going to restore the kingdom to Israel, showing again just how little they really grasped his purpose. But the Spirit would come and would testify about not just anything, but about Jesus, about me, he says, and build up their faith and kindle their courage as he enlightened their eyes to know Jesus better and to trust in Jesus more firmly. This is the gift Jesus promised to send to his disciples and did send on the day of Pentecost. And through their preaching and through their baptizing, the same Spirit was given to all who believed and is still given to all the baptized, as St. Peter promised. "The promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Well, he has called you as he has called all who have been called through the gospel, through the preaching of the word, and through the sacraments that Christ gave, through the very holy scriptures which the Holy Spirit himself inspired to be written. Now, St. Paul says that the Spirit himself bears witness, which is the same word as testifies, with our spirit, that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. He testifies about Jesus who suffered. Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He testifies about Jesus that he is the true God and the only Savior from sin, your Savior from sin, and that there is no other God and no other Savior. He testifies about Jesus who died and rose again and washes you in holy baptism, washes you in his own precious blood applied to you in baptism, making you a child of God and a joint heir together with Jesus, assuring you of that because it's written in his holy word. That's the testimony of the Spirit. It's a testimony that enters through your ears but penetrates all the way down to your heart so that you believe it, so that you are convinced by it, so that you believe Paul's words when you say that you will suffer with him but also be glorified together with him. And so you also confess it. You also, Jesus says to his apostles, will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Now, that only applies directly to the 11 apostles to whom Jesus was speaking. They had a special task, a special direct calling from Jesus. They were with Jesus from the beginning of his earthly ministry. They were eyewitnesses of all that Jesus did and spoke, of his death and of his resurrection. So their testimony would be unique and would serve as the very foundation of the Christian church. We just confessed in the Nicene Creed, I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. But because they have borne witness, we have had the opportunity to hear that witness in the preaching of the word. You and I have believed the Spirit-inspired word and testimony of the apostles that Jesus is the only Savior from sin and the only true God. And if you believe it, then you must also confess it. As St. Paul writes, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You not only believe in Jesus, but if you believe in him, then you confess him with your mouth. You confess him with your mouth and to an extent with your actions in every area of your life as you confess him to be your Lord, to be the one in whose name you've been baptized, to be the only God and Savior. You confess him at work. You confess him at school. You confess him at home. You confess him in the grocery store. You confess him before your friends. You confess him in part with your attendance in church on Sunday morning too. You, as Christians, as royal priests of God, confess Christ in your daily life, proclaiming the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, as St. Peter wrote, which means that it will go for you like it went for Jesus' apostles. He told them ahead of time, the cross is coming. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things they will do to you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. This is the kind of reception the true gospel will receive in the world. Some will believe, but most people won't. Most will persecute. Most will cling to their man-made idols and doctrines and reject you for telling them they shouldn't. Most reject the testimony about Christ, including those, Jesus says, who claim God the Father as their God, as their Father. In fact, he says, after they have excommunicated you and shunned you and killed you, they will sing praises to God and rejoice that they finally got rid of the troublers of the church. Welcome to the Christian life. It's a life of rejection, both by non-Christians and by false Christians. It's a life of bearing the cross. And the cross takes many shapes. For confessing Christ before men, you may be killed or beaten or imprisoned, all of which is happening to Christians right now in other parts of the world. For confessing Christ before men, you may struggle to get or to keep certain jobs. For confessing Christ before men, you may be disliked by your peers, looked down upon by the scholars, even rejected by other so-called Christians who believe and teach false doctrines. You may be made to feel abandoned by practically everyone. But more burdensome still is when Satan presses down on these crosses and on all the hardships of life and attacks your faith and tempts you to question everything and even to despair of God's help. But Jesus knew it would go this way for his church and told you about it ahead of time, which is why he also promised to send the Helper from the Father's side to your side. Divine help in the face of the cross. For as heavy as the cross may be, if the Creator God is standing by your side as your advocate, what creature can be more powerful? And as the divine encourager, he speaks to your heart and says, "Don't worry, it's just the cross." Remember, Jesus was hated and abandoned too. Remember, Jesus conquered the cross after he bore it, and so will you. Remember, Jesus told you all this would happen. He lives and reigns at God's right hand on your behalf. Don't worry. It's just the cross. It may be heavy, but it can't hurt you, not permanently. It can't crush you, because even the cross has been placed under Jesus' feet as he sits on his throne to serve his purposes for building his church, of which you have been made a part. So instead of getting depressed or angry or complaining when you or your fellow Christians are suffering under the cross, remember that Jesus said that these things would happen. They're part of his testing of your faith, so that you persevere in it until the end. They're also part of his judgment on the world, so that it may be clearly seen that you belonged to Jesus, the suffering one, the cross bearer. Remember Jesus' promise. The Helper will come, and we will celebrate his coming and his help next Sunday on the day of Pentecost. Stay close to where the Helper does his work, to the Word and to the sacraments. And hear your God telling you in baptism, in preaching, in the body and blood of Jesus, "Don't worry, it's just the cross. God is on your side." And even more, God the Holy Spirit is now right here by your side. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.